Well, hello everyone. Welcome to Australian PI Podcast, brought to you from the headquarters of Cloak Investigations. I'm Natalie, and this is the first in what I hope will be a very long and very interesting and informative series, both for PIs already working in the field, people who are thinking about becoming private investigators, and also just for the general population, people who are interested in what private investigators do and how they do it. We've been inspired to do these podcasts by a US PI podcast that we listen to quite frequently that's very interesting. But what we find is that, a lot of the stuff that applies to PIs in the US doesn't necessarily apply here in Australia. We have much stricter laws here, for example, with regard to privacy and all of those sorts of things. So we thought there was definitely a need to have a podcast, a homegrown Australian podcast, for this industry. And we're really looking forward to connecting with other people in the industry through this, and hopefully we're going to get lots and lots of comments and feedback and communication from you guys over the next little while about what we have to talk about with ideas. We're always interested in your ideas about what you'd like to know about as well. So without further ado, I guess I'll just introduce myself and my company. My name is Natalie. I'm a private investigator. I have been for several years now, and I come to private investigation from a journalist background. I was in print journalism for many years and then worked alongside some broadcast media doing investigations for them for several years before going out on my own and forming my own company with my partner. He and I work together, and we have a whole range of people who we work with to help us bring a service to our clients. So we cover mostly all of Australia. We go anywhere, so we're not just restricted to one area. And we're often contacted by other PIs for advice on all sorts of things to do with this industry. So I'm hoping that this podcast, this will be a fortnightly podcast, so it'll be something that you can look forward to every couple of weeks. and if I can do them a bit more often, I certainly will. You'll also hear from my partner, Glenn. He has a lot of knowledge in this area, and I'm sure you'll find his podcast very interesting as well. So I guess probably one of the first places to start with a podcast is, for those who are thinking about becoming a private investigator, what sorts of skills and attributes do you need to be a successful PI? And so I guess I've come up with a bit of a list here of things that I think, the average PI probably needs to get by in this industry. It's not an easy job by any stretch. But it can certainly be very exciting and very rewarding in many ways. I guess one of the best skills to have an important skill to have is perhaps an inquiring mind. PIs are generally observant. You need to be somebody who notices what's going on around you, who's got a good memory for faces, who's got a good memory for what people are wearing. If you're one of these people that walks around with blinkers on all day, well, you're probably not going to make a very good PI. In saying that, though, it's a skill that is very much can be learnt. It's not necessarily something that you naturally have to be born with. I know I certainly wasn't. Being observant wasn't one of my strengths, but I guess I've had to learn to become more observant in my everyday life through this job. And you find that, if you are observant in your civilian life and in your life outside work, then being observant while you are at work and noticing little things that may be useful later will come naturally to you. It'll just be part of your toolkit, of your private investigator's toolkit. It's helpful to have a background in a field of inquiry when you get into PI work. You don't necessarily have to have a background in that sort of field, but it certainly helps. I mean, you see a lot of ex-police coming into this field. It's a natural progression for them. They have a lot of the skills and knowledge already that is required, and they've had experience in investigations and in interviewing and collating information, disseminating information, and coming up with a conclusion that can stand up in court. So, you know, it's a natural progression for a lot of police to go into private investigation work once they quit the force. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily, you don't necessarily have to be a police officer. You could be, like I was, an ex-journalist with a background in investigation. So coming from a field of inquiry background is quite helpful. It's not essential, but it's helpful. I guess, you know, you need to be very organised as a private investigator. You need to make sure that you have all your equipment in order. You need to be very disciplined. You need to be able to handle boredom, stay alert when nothing much is happening. If you're sitting in a car for hours on end, for example, and nothing's going on, you need to be able to have the strength of mind not to fall asleep, to be able to, you know, stay alert and be ready when things happen. Because especially with surveillance work, you can be sitting in a car for hours on end, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, there's your subject and it's all happening, and you've got to be alert and you've got to be ready to react to that and do your job. So that can be a very, very difficult aspect of surveillance work, and surveillance work will most likely be your bread and butter when you start out. You need to understand the concept of confidentiality and discretion. It's one of the most important things about being a PI. Your clients will expect that of you. They will expect that when they tell you their problem and when they give you their personal information, that it's going to be handled correctly and that it isn't going to be disseminated to all your friends and family when you get home from work that day. So I'm not saying you can't talk about your work. You can, but you have to keep in mind the confidentiality of your clients, because your reputation as a PI won't survive if you're known as somebody who can't be discreet. So it's important to be discreet and to keep the information that your clients give you in confidence. You need to have reasonably good written and verbal communication skills. And the reason I say that is because a lot of your work is going to involve writing reports. So you need to be able to put together a professional looking report. So your spelling, grammar, that sort of thing needs to be reasonable. Or you just need to have a really good spell checker on your computer, or, you know, maybe somebody who can check over your reports before you send them off. You need to, you know, if you're going to have, you're going to get a lot of work and you're going to inspire confidence in your clients, particularly corporate clients, you need to be able to produce a professional looking and sounding report with all the right information. You need to have good verbal communication skills. You're dealing with a really difficult client base as a PI. I mean, nobody ever contacts a PI when their life is going well. Usually when they contact a PI, they've got a problem and they're unhappy. They lack patience. They're panicking, they're emotional. You have to be able to deal with that, and you have to be able to disseminate the information you need to get from that client so that you can do your job. So, you know, you need to be able to have good interpersonal skills, be patient, be empathetic, compassionate, but at the same time stay sufficiently removed from the situation so that you don't become emotionally involved in it. I've got caught out with that, you know, a few times as in my sort of early days of being a PI, particularly dealing with child abuse cases. Those cases were, you know, very difficult for me, and I would be driving home after a day, you know, on working on one of those cases, just in tears. And I realized that if I was going to keep doing this work, which was very worthwhile work, I was going to need to build up a bit of a tough exterior and learn to, I guess, keep myself emotionally removed from these situations. But at the same time, you have to have that balance. You have to show that your client that you care, that you empathize with their situation, and that you're going to do everything you can to help them. So you know, having those great interpersonal skills can really, really help you in a big way. And, you know, particularly nowadays with Australia being such a multicultural environment, we're finding we're getting more and more clients who have English as a second language. And quite often communicating with people who don't speak very good English can be difficult, particularly if they're emotional. You also have to understand, I guess, the cultural background of these different clients and work within that. So that can be a really difficult and patience stretching scenario. I remember we had a client in Melbourne once who was from Africa, and she was very emotional. Her husband was being unfaithful to her, and she spoke very quickly over the phone to the point where her accent was very thick, and I couldn't understand what she was asking of me. And what resulted from that was a major miscommunication between us about what she wanted me, what she thought I could do, and what I could actually do. And that was simply because our communication broke down. I wasn't really able to understand what she was saying very well on the phone. What I ended up doing with her was I ended up sort of putting everything in writing with her, so making sure that, you know, she was sending text messages or emails rather than speaking over the phone. And our communication improved remarkably after that, because I could actually understand what she was asking of me, and she could understand what my limitations were as a private investigator. She thought I could, break into his house and put bugs in his house and all of those sorts of things. And she was disappointed when she found out that I hadn't done that. So it's, it's one of those things that, having good interpersonal skills and knowing how to handle those sorts of situations can be a big bonus. Moving on. You definitely need to be a competent driver if you're doing a lot of surveillance work. And as I said, that's going to be your bread and butter when you first start out in this industry, is surveillance work. You're going to be sitting in cars and you're going to be following vehicles. So you need to be a competent driver. I'm not saying you need to be Fangio, though. We always insist that our drivers and that our agents in the field are obeying the road rules. We don't tolerate any crazy driving. It's not worth it. It's not worth risking their lives or the lives of other motorists for a successful follow. If you cannot follow somebody within the bounds of the road rules, then you shouldn't be following them. You know, you should just pull off it and have another go another day. There are other ways around it. So we don't advocate risking your safety or the safety of other motorists to successfully follow somebody. So in saying that, though, you do need to be able to operate a vehicle competently and be aware of your surroundings, negotiate traffic while still keeping your eyes on the subject. You may need to be in communication with other agents on the job or with your controller. So you need to be able to do, I guess, multitasking while you're behind the wheel. You also need to have a really good, eye for vehicles. You need to be able to recognise makes and models of vehicles quite easily. That's something that I've actually, I didn't have when I first started out. I'm getting better at it. but it certainly helps, because a lot of your job is going to be involving identifying the subject vehicle and staying in pursuit of that vehicle. I think one of the most important things that you need as a PI is the ability to think on your feet. You're going to be in situations where you have to think quickly, because you're dealing with human beings who are intrinsically unpredictable. So you can try and predict what they're going to do until the cows come home, but at the end of the day, your plans will always need to be changed at the last minute, because the person that you're following, the person that you're observing, is going to act in a way that you didn't expect. So you need to be able to think on your feet, and this is particularly important if you're doing any sort of undercover work, in any sort of hidden camera work where you're directly interacting with a subject. You really do need to be able to think quickly, and I learned that the hard way a couple of times when I started out. We were doing we were doing an investigation into a drug dealer, and we ended up in a very uncomfortable situation with this very nasty fellow who was suspecting that we were undercover police. And we had to think on our feet. We had to think very quickly to get ourselves out of that situation and still come away with some evidence. So that was a very tricky situation, and you know, one that you don't want to have to repeat too often, believe me. So being able to think on your feet is a real definite bonus. So I think that's pretty much it for, for the skills and attributes that you need if you're going to be a PI. There's so much more to being a PI, and I'll cover those things in later podcasts. And certainly, you know, if there's anything else that you want to know about what I've said today, by all means, let me know. So I guess that brings me to the last part of this podcast, which is going to be, you know, how you get in touch with us and how you communicate with us. We would love to be in contact with our listeners. We really do. And we'd love to hear your ideas of what you'd like to hear us talk about. We'd love to hear your stories, and we'd love to answer your questions. So, please get in touch. You can message us on Facebook. Look up Cloak Investigations on Facebook, and you'll find our page there. You can send us a tweet on Twitter, just at Cloak PI. That's C-L-O-A-K P for Peter, I. You can also find both those links on our website, which is www.cloakinvestigations.com.au, and Cloak is spelt C-L-O-A-K, as in cloak that you wear. If you'd like to message us personally, you can send us an email at admin@cloakinvestigations.com.au. And of course, you can subscribe to this podcast. As I say, we'll be doing these as regularly as we can, probably every fortnight. So if you'd like to subscribe, then you'll be notified when the next podcast is available. So thanks for listening in, guys. I hope you found that interesting, and I hope it was helpful to anyone out there who's thinking of becoming a PI. And as I said, you know, we would love to hear from you. So get in touch. Okay, bye for now.